Yes, my name's James, and I had a question about how you felt about people that are married that go to lunch with somebody of the opposite sex that may or may not be married.
All right. Hey, listen, today, this is Intentional Living. I want to just send out to everybody listening, this is an adult-only topic today, all right? So your kids, they can get involved in some other things, which they may be happy to do, but this is for adults only. We're going to get right into it. Opposite-sex friendships. Outside of marriage, if you're a married person, do you have an opposite sex friend? Does it work? We're going to just get really honest with you today. We got some stories that are going to rock you when you hear how some people have ended up as a result of this. And I just want to open the phone lines and have you call and be a part of this. We love you. I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living. We're all about doing the next right thing that brings glory to God and frankly benefit to you and your marriage. And if you're on the verge of an opposite sex friendship that's starting to go awry, and you know, you're listening, you know exactly what I'm talking about. What's it going to cost you? And we beg you, and because we love you, as a brother in Christ, to stop today and really listen to this. We want to help you, encourage you. All right? Phone line's open. Maybe you have a story. Maybe you want to tell us how you have put some guardrails in place in your marriage when it comes to opposite sex friendships. And some of you are going to say, well, this is, you're making a big deal about nothing. I got the stats here, what people are saying. And it may be you're in that category. It's not an issue today, but it is for a lot of people. How do you manage these opposite sex friendships in church, in work, neighborhood, friends, what have you? Phone lines open, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. It can happen anywhere. Mike, sounds like it happened to you on the commuter train there. So go ahead, tell us, what is your story?
I used to ride a commuter train for work. Mm-hmm. And even though it was a public venue, I started to get to know a female quite well. Mm-hmm. And even though I'm married and I never thought anything of it, I started catching myself thinking too much about her.
So you were looking forward to getting on the train or sitting together and talking and that kind of thing?
Right. My highlight for a while was, you know, getting up just to go ride the train.
Yeah. What was it about the friendship? What was it that really drew you in?
How easy she was to talk to. I absolutely dead easy to talk to. Mm. And we started getting to know each other too well. You know, and we had both laid out that nothing was ever intended. I've seen her once since I quit riding the train, though, and I could still see that there was that glimmer, and I felt the pull inside of me wanting to go talk to her, and we never even said hi. Mm. And that's been years ago, and I still feel that from time to time.
Yeah, so there was never a cutoff. It was just sort of you decided or stopped riding the train, but what's happened is those memories are now bigger than life. She's bigger than life, and you know, we can manufacture things in our mind that are beyond reality, if you know what I mean.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So what have you learned through all this, Mike?
It's made me be extra careful. You know, I've had women that I've met subsequently that I start to talk to, and I realize, oh, I talk too comfortably with you, so I have to pull myself back because I don't want that. I love my wife. I don't want to step out on her, so I have to be very intentional about how I pursue friendships, even.
Well, you're honest. I mean, here's where we get into trouble, Mike. We deny and we become defensive, or we say it never happened to us, or that's not my problem. And the fact that you recognize it and then have put boundaries in place. One of the things I really encourage you to do is, as you say, you love your wife, really build into that relationship. And the more you develop that, hopefully, that kind of intimacy with your wife that you can talk comfortably. And I know not all marriages, does that happen? And sometimes it's easier to talk to a person you're not married to because you don't have all the baggage of just day-to-day stuff.
Right. And I mean, we do have our problems from time to time, and that does make it hard sometimes. Or sometimes we're too critical on each other. I know I've done it, and I know she's done it, so I'm not saying it's all her or it's all me, because I realize it's both of us.
Yeah.
But that, like you said, makes it easier. Someone that, an outside party, they seem to not have the connection.
Mm.
And then it turns out that you wind up with a connection. So I have to be careful about that.
Yeah, you do. Mike, thank you. You've been very vulnerable, very, very honest with us. I appreciate you, man, for calling. You know, it's interesting. There was a research study done by the Journal of Social and Personal Relationships a few years ago. Do men and women, can they be just friends? Can they be just friends? And it's interesting. If they're both single, 92% said yes. Okay? It sort of makes sense, right? But what's interesting, if one of them is in a committed relationship, we'd say married. If one of them is married, still 89% of people said yes. And so the vast number of people in the population believe that this is possible. And yet what's interesting here at the bottom of this research from the Scientific American, which, by the way, is not the Christianity Journal, right? They put a little note on the bottom of this study. They said, new research suggests that there may be some truth to this possibility that we may think we're capable of being, quote, just friends with members of the opposite sex, but the opportunity or perceived opportunity for romance is often lurking just around the corner, waiting to pounce at the most inopportune moment. Come on now. Let's just be really honest. Because here's another fact that came, or another observation made in a study, that there's a motivational difference between men and women when it comes to opposite sex friendships. Men and women often report different motivations for entering into an opposite sex friendship. Men are more likely to report sexual attraction as a reason for maintaining opposite sex friendships, while women are more likely to value emotional support and companionship. No surprise. I mean, that shouldn't surprise us, but we got to be aware of this. Come on, guys, be aware. Ladies, be aware. There's difference some many times in motivation. One of the most significant factors affecting opposite sex friendships is sexual attraction. A study that was done in 2012 found that men are more likely to report being attracted to their female friends than vice versa, and they are more likely to overestimate the level of attraction that their female friend feels toward them. So the guy's thinking, wow, does she really thinks I'm cool? And she just likes talking to you. All right? Am I right, Jennifer? Okay. When Jennifer smiles, I know I'm on the right track here. Opposite sex friendships. Let's just get honest. Let's get real. We're followers of Christ. And it can work for some. Doesn't work for all. But here's the question. What's it going to cost you? And what's the vulnerability? And how are you handling it? We'll get your stories. You're lining up. We'll get to you in a moment. You can join in. We're going to do this and then continue to record at the end of the hour. So we'll take this whole hour to talk to you about this at 888-888-1717.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Something that everyone will experience in life is pain. In Dr. Randy's message, The Purpose of Pain, you'll learn even though pain is a problem, when you understand its purpose in your life, you can actually gain freedom.
Pain is a troubling problem for humanity, and yet, without pain, we'd have no grasp of the contrast with health. or peace or success or meaning. For it's in the pain that we're able to see how dependent we are on God and what His blessings are all about in our life.
With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group with unlimited access to this message, along with more of Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Give now and receive these life-changing resources. Call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
All right, hope you do that. Thank you, Kurt. When you do and join us in monthly support as a member of Intentional Living, you're getting access immediately to all of that teaching that we have up there on that site, including the one you just heard on the purpose of pain, not the problem of pain. We know that, but the purpose of pain, it's up there on the site now, featured. So thanks for joining us. Your monthly support goes a long way. How much? We don't put an amount. It's a donation. You're supporting the ministry. A dollar a day, four quarters. Hey, that's a sort of a target. That's sort of average of what people give, some more, some less. But come and just be a part of it. We just need you to be a part of it, and we want you to be a part of the ministry. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, or you can give us a call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. All right, Angel in Michigan, how are you today?
I am doing truly blessed. How are you?
Good, good, good. How do you handle this opposite sex friendship topic?
You know, this is a great topic. I want to say through experience of someone, I had to intervene with the couple, and they're married, and I actually didn't want to be in the midst, but because some experience, so I spoke with the both of them, and I ministered to them with a couple, which was married, and we sat down, and they felt that their best friend, and this is, I'm going to say this naturally and spiritually, biblically and naturally, the couple that was having issues with the opposite sex, he had a longtime friend, and you made a very good, valid point as well as accurate. The husband had this longtime friend. She was friend of the family. He knew her from almost like high school. And then she drifted away, came back when he got married. Okay, but they were still friends. So he told his wife, and she was aware of it. But the closeness he tended to, and this is what I think what happens to some marriages, they go to their best friend, the opposite sex, and you made a valid point. And this is accurate. And the Bible said not to look on a person you lust. If you looked on them, you already lust, you know, in a way where you're looking on.
Yeah, and see, you're making an important point here, Angel. What happens is, so instead of going to my spouse and really deal with issues, it's easier to go talk to somebody else who might understand me.
Right, and this is the story part of it, and I'm almost finished. He basically this is what he did, and this is what a lot of couples, it may not be everybody, but the majority, they keep that friend and hang on to them when they're having marital problems, coming to each other, going to God together first, before they even go to counseling. You got to come to each other and pray, because you made the vow to God. God is in the midst. He is in the middle. So hopefully this will help some other people, because I'm speaking from a 30-year of my marriage for myself.
Well, listen, you made a great point. If you've got your opposite sex friend on speed dial when it comes to the problems you have in your marriage, I love you. When I say this, you're being very foolish. Real men, real women, come on, men, we want to have, this is a character issue. If you got a problem in your marriage, and I understand you got a problem in your marriage, it's easy to go talk to somebody else. But it's kind of like, I got pain over here and there's a little pleasure over here. The problem is that pleasure turns back into new pain. It doubles, it's kind of like pain on steroids. And so real men, real women, followers of Christ, we need to have enough courage, enough conviction to say, okay, if I got a problem in my marriage, I'm not going to divert it to somebody else. I'm going to go deal with this problem, whatever that means. Counseling, there may be some real important, difficult things that got to be resolved in your marriage. But I'll tell you what, you can't resolve the issues in your marriage unless you deal with your marriage. And Angel just reminded us, when you have that other person on speed dial in your life, That's a major problem. Thank you, Angel, from Michigan. Appreciate it. Dan in Kansas. Hi there. How are you?
Blessed and highly favored. Thank you.
How are you? Amen. Great. How do you handle this topic?
Well, we've been married 43 years, and when we started, we decided to put God in the middle, at the top, at the apex. Mm-hmm. And we've had bumps and struggles and obstacles. But when it comes to opposite sex, sometimes you might look at another person and they make eye contact and smile or whatever. That could be considered flirting or whatever. I think sometimes Satan gets in the middle of things. He's here to kill, steal, and destroy. And if he can destroy a marriage and a family, he's got a foothold on everybody.
So how do you handle it? What do you do?
Well, what I do, if I see somebody and my mind begins to wander like that, opposite sex, I try to pray for them. I say, Lord, bless that person. Let them have a great day. Let them know that you're real. And then this last several months, what I do is pray for them, but I ask for the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
And it really, really helps me. It just straightens me right out and get back on the right track.
Yeah, and listen, I was thinking about that verse, Dan, that says that we as Christians, we as followers of Christ, new babes in Christ, you've been mature, been around a long time, and we're to take captive every thought, take captive, grab hold of it, every thought out of obedience to Christ. And that's exactly what you're doing. Oops. Hey, listen, my thought's gone. That's not the problem. I mean, we live in a fallen world, and men, we all know we live in this world where it's very easy to see something and our minds can go in the wrong place. Come on. And we need to take captive every thought of obedience to Christ. And it is the same for women. You see something, you hear something, you're attracted to a communication to someone who cares for you and connects with you. And it's easy for your mind to start to make sense of this, and we start to justify it. Here's what happens. Once we take a position like, hey, this is okay, then we tend to defend it. And if you're listening to me today and you kind of know down deep, maybe there's a relationship, it's not quite like it should be, not quite healthy. It's easy to start to defend that. Well, if my wife was or my husband was more like them, then we wouldn't have a problem. Or they're just friends and I just need someone to talk to, but hey, here's a question. Do you find yourself thinking about them when you're not with them? Do you find yourself wanting to be with them when you're not together, like Mike did on that commuter train at the beginning of the show? He said, my day was set around getting up and getting on that train because those thoughts had taken over. All right, let's go to Scott before the break. Georgia, hi, Scott. How you doing down there in Georgia today?
Hey, doctor. Good afternoon. So my message here, I've been married 40 years as well. My message is for the youth and those young ones that are thinking about getting married in the engagement phase. Please get counseling right off the bat. Have radical honesty with your engaged partners, even if it hurts, even if what you've done with them or with others. My thing is, if you're in a business setting, a professional setting, or a community setting, and you're going to run across somebody you might have had a relationship with, especially if you're engaged, if you had some type of relationship with a friend, you need to be radically honest. I can tell you it's going to come out eventually. For me, it came out 40 years later. Mm. There were things I hid from my wife and that she hid from me. 40 years later, you wouldn't think it would matter, but like you said, your imagination can run wild. When you get a little snippet of information, that mind can drive you crazy.
That's right.
And that's where we're both at. It hurts deeply. So I'd say, if there's an uncomfortable situation in the workplace or the friendship with a male or female, be radically honest with your mate, with your spouse, with your engaged person, because it's going to come out eventually. And I can tell you, it can ruin your marriage. If it happened 30 years ago, it can still hurt deeply today.
Yeah, and by the way, Scott, I do agree with you. I just want to add a little caveat to this. We got to be careful. If there's things that God has forgiven, it's in the past and it's gone. We got to be careful to understand, is it going to be healthy for my spouse and for our marriage to bring that up and lay it in their lap and then have them have to deal with it. I hear what you're saying. I think especially it's true to be radically honest before you make a commitment to somebody. Get the cards on the table, get them face up and be honest. This is my past. This is who I am. This is what God's done in my life. And to the extent possible, I'm just laying out who I am. What we don't need is a bait switch. We don't need later to find out something that we should have known before we got married or committed into a marriage. And so understanding that dynamic and that balance is important. If there's a roadblock, however, in terms of something that needs to be addressed, that needs to get out and be dealt with. And the best way to do that, in my opinion, is to find a Christian counselor, a counselor who's really, you know, skilled and able to get that out and help you process that together. Because like you said, it can go into all sorts of things that two people may not be able to deal with in a healthy way without some outside help. But I agree with you. And as you said, Scott, especially with those young ones.
I need to say a word about self-inflicted pain. You know, the kind of pain I'm talking about, the stuff we bring on ourselves when we ignore our marriage, when we ignore our health, when we ignore our finances or work. In cases of self-inflicted pain, the solution is simple. It's obvious. Change your priorities with intentional action. Stop it. Stop moving in the direction you're moving and start moving in a new direction. This is the only best solution for dealing with pain when it's self-inflicted. Moving instead toward obedience to Scripture through reading and developing new healthy godly habits is the most sensible thing that you can do for someone wanting a better life, free of the unnecessary outcomes of self-inflicted pain.
That's an excerpt from the teaching featured this month for our Intentional Living community. And if you're not part of this community, come on in. You know, we're followers of Christ. We're just men and women who've failed and fallen and been forgiven. And we're not asking ourselves to be intentional so God will love us more and be better than anybody else. Being intentional doesn't get you saved. It's by grace we are saved through faith, that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, lest anybody should boast. So we don't boast of that. We just simply say, you know, it makes a lot more sense to do the next right one thing, to be intentional, to know what God's intention is for marriage and family and finance and follow it. That's all we believe. And so we keep it simple, but straightforward. That like in a topic like today, here's a question. If you're in an opposite sex friendship right now, just ask yourself this question. What's the next right thing to do? Does your spouse know about it? Hey, listen, if your spouse doesn't know that you have a friend of the opposite sex, I don't mean just somebody at work that you know, but I'm talking about a friendship. That's a red flag. If you find yourself going out to lunch with somebody of the opposite sex and it's kind of enjoyable, but you don't want to share it with your spouse, that's a problem. That's a red flag. So being honest, when we talk about honesty, just like Scott was saying, we need to be radically honest when it comes to that. You know, I mean, if there's some encounter, you need to say, hey, so your spouse knows, there's no surprise. I agree with that. And Jennifer did too. We were just talking off air. And so that's important. All right, let's go before we run out of time here. Judy, New Mexico, in New Mexico. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. Good. How do you handle this opposite sex friendship, Judy?
Well, I was a truck driver for 27 years, so I worked mostly with men. And at one point, there were 250 other drivers in our lineup. So I would run with this one or run with that one or run with a bunch of them, and we would stop and have lunch. And they became like my brothers. But the thing is, the whole key is setting healthy boundaries and maintaining them. Always keep them in focus.
Yeah.
Because it's like a job. You have to maintain your healthy boundaries and define yourself as a lady of God. And
right.
If things come in and there's feelings start, then you start praising God.
That's right. Did you find with those 250 in your team and mostly men that there would be those who'd try to punch through that boundary you put in place?
Oh, absolutely. And I would, you know, just outwardly say, you know, you crossed the line. And if they respected that and backed off, that was fine. If not, they were not my friend.
Mm,
that's right.
And I walked away.
Do you have any regrets? Do you have any regrets, Judy, of doing that? I mean, you look back now, any regrets that you held your standards high and put boundaries in place?
Absolutely not. When I started driving in the 70s, it was I was the only woman out there for a long time. And I started from the beginning saying, I'm a lady. I will act like a lady, so treat me like a lady.
Mm. Good for you.
And, you know, I had, for example, one driver came up to me and he said, you know, you come into a man's job and you expect me to change the way I act or the way I talk. Well, I'm not going to do it. And I looked at him and I says, okay, look, you don't say it to me or about me or around me, and I'm fine. And if they wanted to tell an off-color joke or something, they'd tell me, don't you need the bathroom? And I said, no. Well, yes, you do. You need the bathroom.
Yeah, in fact, they need the bathroom at that point, don't they? To go clean out their mouth with some of that soap. Just like in that the Christmas story. Remember, you seen the little boy when he said what he shouldn't have said, and the soap goes in. Okay, hey, Judy, I got to wrap it up. Thank you for your call. She's driving a truck in a man's world back in the 70s in particular, and she said, I'm a lady. I expect to be treated like a lady. She put boundaries in place, and there were guys that tried to punch through. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. There are people always try to punch through whatever boundaries you have. It may be in this area. It may be in some other area of your life. We're talking about doing the next right one thing, keeping our character. We're not perfect. We're fallen people. God is a God of forgiveness. And I would say to those of you listening today, if you're caught in this today, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you don't know Jesus, that you would give your life to him today and say, Jesus, I'm done with this. Going my own way, I give my life to you. Cleanse me. And now make me a man or woman that will be intentional in doing the next right one thing in that relationship. And if I got to turn back and deal with some things in my marriage or my family or whatever's going on, I'm going to be a man of God or a woman of God and go do that. May not be easy. Don't know what the outcome is. I don't know. And you don't know maybe, but God does. But you're being intentional in the process. I hope this has helped. I'll tell you what, we're going to just stay here. I want to leave the lines open. We're going to record for a show that's going to air tomorrow. We're going to continue this discussion. But right now, when you call, what's your story? What have you learned? What's been the boundaries? What's the warning for others? Love to have you be a part of it. Maybe you don't agree with all this. Call. We'd love to talk to you. 888-888-1717. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. This is Intentional Living, and it is a ministry of Intentional Life Media.